Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Magnolia Public Schools regular Board of Directors meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara. I'm the Executive Assistant and Board Secretary here at Magnolia Public Schools. It's a pleasure to be with you here all today, and I did want to reiterate Happy Ramadan for those that are observing. Before we commence tonight's meeting, a couple of quick reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. Second, if you are a member of the public and you wish to give a public comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. If it is something that you feel uncomfortable in doing so, you do not have to state your name. But as a reminder to our board and staff, as always, please state your name before giving a comment or your question. And with that, we'll officially commence tonight's regular Board of Directors meeting. The day is Thursday, April 7th, 2022. The time is 6:03 p.m. With that, Ms. Covarrubias, if you may please call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for being here. We'd like to call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Thank you, Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Digbush?
Here.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez? Mr. Mohamedov?
Yeah.
Thank you to our board members. We've established quorum. Next, we'll move on to the approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mekhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Yapano. Dr. Yapano, for your vote?
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Yapano. Dr. Digbush?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comment, 6 minutes of translation needed. If you're a member of the public and you wish to give a public comment, you may do so now. Perfect. If there are no public comments, we'll move forward with the agenda. Next, with the approval of minutes. If there's no objections from the board members, we can approve the minutes in one motion for the regular board meetings of February 10th, 2022, February 24th, 2022, March 10th, 2022, and March 24th, 2022. Is there any objections to voting all 4 minutes in one motion?
No.
Perfect, thank you. So with that, the motion is to approve the minutes for February 10th, February 24th, March 10th, and March 24th, 2022. Would a board member like to move the motion?
Yes, I'd like to move the motion.
No, second.
Thank you, Dr. Yapano. Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, for a second. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Yapano.
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Digbush.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The minutes for February 10th, February 24th, March 10th, and March 24th, 2022 has been approved. Next, we're going to move on to closed session. Before turning it over to Ms. Covarrubias, I did want to ask if there is any last public comments before heading on to closed session. Perfect. So if now, Ms. Covarrubias, if you may please announce the closed session item.
Yes, we have one item. It's a hearing for appeal for expulsion. Determination.
Thank you for that, Ms. Covarrubias. At this moment, I ask just the board members to join the closed session room. It has been open now. For those waiting in open session, you're more than welcome to turn off your cameras, your mics. We're going to give an update on that shortly. Thank you. Hello, everyone. We are back in open session. The time is 9:40 p.m. Mr. Mohamedov, if you may please report out of closed session.
Yes, this is Mikan Mohamedov reporting out of closed session. The Board of Directors of Magnolia Public Schools voted unanimously on a stipulated expulsion with suspended enforcement.
Thank you for that, Mr. Mohamedov. Now moving on to the agenda, we'll move on to information discussion item 3A. I ask for all the representatives if you may please stick within your allotted time on the agenda as it is late today. So 3A is 2021 through 22 MPS Educational Partners Survey Results and Reflections and Public Feedback to Inform LCAP. I'll turn it over to Mr. Yilmaz, our Chief Accountability Officer.
Good evening, dear board members, colleagues still on the call, and community members. I promise I'll be very brief. So tonight, two principals and I will be presenting our survey findings to you very briefly. Jen, if you could go to the cover page, second page there. So the attachments. We included a report on our, stakeholder, we don't call them stakeholders anymore, educational partner survey results. So you have a report in your hand. The second and third attachments are from our Panorama survey portal. If the board wants to dive in, to details of how the questions were responded. So we will not go into there tonight. And the fourth attachment you see is from each school site, a reflection on their survey results. So tonight I'll be covering just the first attachment very briefly, and then we are going to call on to the principals of MSA 3 and 5 to present their reflections. Here, the first few pages just talk about, keep scrolling, Jen, like what kind of questions we ask on the survey and describe them. If you go to page 8, Jen, you're going to see our first chart, which shows our survey participation data. Yes, you can see that our student participation rate was about 92%, families about 57%, and staff close to 98%. So for students and staff, we really had very high participation rates. For families, you'll see which schools achieved their LCAP targets, but some schools need to make progress. So we need to make progress on the family participation rate. So you see there, student participation rate 92.4. Almost all schools were above 95%. Go down, Jen. For families, you see that Magnolia White, we achieved 57%. We had four of our schools meet their targets. A few schools were really behind. But some schools, as you see, like MSA 6 had 100% parent participation rate, 4 was 96%. I mean, they were small schools, but of the large schools, MSA 2 had 86, Santana had 82, and Bell achieved their target and improved as well. A few schools just need to improve. This year, it was a unique year with lots of challenges from distance learning to in-person instruction with all the safe and healthy regulations. It was a challenging year, so we really had a great reflection with our school team, school leaders. We hope to improve on the family participation rate next year. Staff participation rate, you see most schools are close to 100%. All right, go down to page 10, Jen. Over there, you'll see that each school has their own local target in their LCAP. Green means they achieved their participation target. No means they were a little bit short of their target. Go down to page 11. I just want to share the five-year trends. I thought that's what the board would be interested in. So as you see, student participation rate has been pretty consistent over the last 5 years, above 92%. Go down. for families. You see, for the past 4 years, we were doing faring really well, about like 80%-ish. This year we dropped to 57, and as I said, next year we hope to recover back to 80%. For staff participation, you see that we consistently achieve like more than 95.6%. Okay, let's go down to page 22, actually, Jen. Keep scrolling down. Those are details. I want to cover, let's see, page 22. Yes, the historical rate. Okay. We covered participation rate. Now I'm moving on to approval rate, which means based on all of the questions on the survey, how favorably they were responded. So if you look at the trend for students, we used to be about like 94-96%. Last year, there was a big bump due to distance learning. I don't know, maybe students, you know, some questions were about like safety, bullying, all of those were not really existent last year during distance learning. The rates were kind of like very high, 75. So this year we dropped to 68%, but I really suggest that we compare it with the pre-pandemic rate, which was 66. So there's still a little bit improvement there for the student survey. And student surveys are challenging because even if students say they were bullied once, or you know, something happened just once, they don't count into favorable. So it's really like the threshold is like really high to make it to the favorable category. Go down, Jen, to next page. Let's see, approval rates for families consistently over 95%. Awesome. And down to staff. As you see, our target is like no less than 85%. So it was great to achieve 85. Again, a little decline from last year. Okay, let's see. Now go down to page 30. I just want to cover like real quick, which questions were answered the top, like top rated, most favorable, and then lowest rated, because we pay special attention to them. There are four types of surveys. So students, you know, there's elementary and a secondary, right? So for the elementary students, top rated question was, does this school help all students be successful in school? 92% favorable. So they really feel they are getting the support. Okay, go down. Lowest rated for elementary students were, you know, are you afraid of being beaten up at school? 58% favorable, meaning 42% like not favorable. They are afraid of being beaten up. But again, as I said, even if, you know, favorable is like really challenging, even if they have like little concern, that counts as like not favorable. It has to be like none, like they have like no fear at all of being beaten up. So that was the lowest rated, and we are working on this, our school teams. Next page is secondary students. Most favorable question was, teachers give them a chance to take part in classroom discussions or activities. So the engagement part is there. Lowest rated on the same page. Students treat teachers with respect. So this is from students' perspective. They think like other students do not treat teachers with respect. So like 40% favorable, 60% think they don't treat with respect. All right, let's move on to families. I mean, all of the questions were rated very highly, so there is really like no high, no low, but overall they say staff is helpful, school provides quality instruction. Lowest rated was, as you see, 91% feel safe. I mean, feel that their child is safe in the neighborhood. 9% has concerns about safety in the neighborhood around the school. So that was the lowest rated. Keeping down to staff, 99% of staff said, you know, our schools really emphasize helping students academically. Rules are fair. Lowest rated by staff, as you see, they think disruptive student behavior is an issue. You know, return from distance learning to in person, and many students were, you know, like new to our schools, like to the culture. So, student behavior was an issue compared to last year, obviously. And also, we have a lot of new staff, so 65% feel there is enough like collaboration, professional relationships with, among the teachers, but the remaining one third think we need improvement in this area. So we will be working on that as well. Go down to page 37, Jen. Okay, so I think this is the last data piece, 37. So this is like one question, like overall, are you happy? Would you refer the school to other people? So if you look at that, those rates are higher than the approval rate. So students, 79% would recommend the school to other students. For families, go down. 96% would refer to school. We want to be 100%. And for staff, we don't want to be lower than 90. So that's great. Like 90% of staff highly recommend the school to other educators. All right. Go to page 42, Jen. So we shared all of these results with our schools. And we had like 1 hour discussion meeting with each school leadership team. We went over all of the free responses, not just the data, but what educational partners like the most, the least, their recommendations. We read all of them and we came up with goals, growth, and next steps for each school site in collaboration with the school teams. And then last chart, page 46, shows that we use these like survey results in our staff evaluations. So each school gets points out of 15, 5, 5, 5, you know, parents, students, and, you know, staff. So that shows that our schools really had high scores based on improvement and also how they did on the approval rates. Okay, that kind of covers, in a nutshell, our survey results. If the board members have any questions, I'll be happy to answer. If not, I'll turn it over to our principals.
Let's wait for questions at the end, Ms. Rumas.
Okay, sure. So thank you very much, principals of MSA 3 and 5, for staying to present your survey reflection. So first, I'll invite Zeke, if you are ready. And Jen, you can maybe open MSA 3. Thank you. Perfect. You know the page numbers. All right. So Zeke, whichever page you want projected, let Jen know, or you can just briefly go over your highlights.
Yeah, thank you. Greetings, everybody, like our board members, home office, distinguished members, and the guests here. This process every year, it takes place, the partner survey, and then we take it seriously to analyze, and I personally like read all the, especially the numbers is one part of the survey. Definitely for MSA 3, with the number section, Jen, if you are able to show, as David mentioned, we check the data to see where MSA 3 is heading to, is how positive it is, and the perception of the school in the areas in the question. And we have seen the trend in all areas from student survey to staff survey, as well as parent survey. In all areas, approval rates and satisfaction rates were higher than the pre-pandemic level. So that's what we compared our data, because last year, the students, when they took the survey, mostly they were at school. But this year we compared the data, the pre-pandemic 3 years, MSA 3 consistently was in all areas, scored high. We attributed, we understand when looking at the data, what parents say, what students say about this. Those matter to us a lot. And what our parents said about, for the survey, I will mention about especially what our parents and our staff and the families see, a community feeling that they are able to see, community feeling at MSA 3. It's a small school. We have around 400 students, that we are able to identify the needs of each student, and then we are able to identify their needs. Across the board, I see the community feeling that's coming as what they like best about MSA3. Of course, there are areas of improvement which we take it, we analyze, and then we identify our needs where we need to make our investment and our focus points so that those areas get improved, from school lunch, food, to student bathrooms and the sport teams, like three areas we identified as it needs improvement. We are currently working with home office and the relevant people, how we can make in all these areas improvement, from our offerings to extracurriculars. We already started checking in what has been happening and then what we can do to make improvement in those areas. And the process is inclusive. When we analyze this data, we check with our admin team, and then we share it with our teaching staff and other classified staff to get their feedback. And we this year we took MSA3 was proud with all the improvements, and then consistently seeing, even if with the pre-pandemic data, we were able to see the improvement, especially our parents. And we see our staff, they always like tell us like if something is wrong, and seeing the even with the numbers going up at MSA3, it gave us the sense we are moving in the right direction to get our educational partners' voice heard, students, parents, and the staff. With our staff, we have consistently applying the anonymous surveys to hear them really, like without identifying their identity, they are able to write what's going right and what's going wrong. We are able to check those. We are doing it internally, like not on the educational survey. For our students, we make our staff and admin present during, our admin is present during the transition times. We have more check-in with the students. And with our parents, I'm happy to announce we, even if our scores were high with the parent survey, we were able to hire a PACE coordinator to improve our enrollment efforts, as well as our connection with our parents to make it better. Today there was an open house when I left around 5:30 at school. Parents, new parents, prospective parents were lined up to get to know the school, our PACE coordinator, our assistant principal, Mr. Thomas, and the translators. They were helping parents understand the process, what MSA3 is all about. All these efforts are showing we are in the right direction, and with the areas of improvement, we will focus on those areas to make everything better for MSA3. Just one thing I need to highlight to our facility challenges continues to be an issue. Like working at a co-located site has its own challenges with the shared space and the exclusive use space. Our staff also raised their concern about it, because this year I have like 5 traveling teachers. We are working, we have good relations with the co-located principal. However, the Prop 39 in its nature does not favor the charter school. And then it's bringing its own issues with the facility. So we are working everything on our end. However, getting not enough classroom based on, since the classrooms are based on LAUSD, vicinity students, we are not able to get students from the ADA that we generate from other non-LAUSD students. Unfortunately, that's creating a barrier for us to get sufficient classrooms. However, we are keeping a good touch with our teaching staff to address the needs so that they are happy to be working at MSA 3. Thank you so much in this late night, and I'm passing to my colleague, Mr. Kaplan, for MSA 5. Thank you. David, back to you.
Thanks, Zeke. Go ahead, Ali, if you're ready.
Yes, I'm ready. Good evening, all. So as Mr. Yılmaz and Mr. Özel mentioned, we should compare the data with the pre-pandemic results. So staff and students responded well in terms of the participation. We are close to 100%. Parents' participation has been a challenge, and they are used to be more paper trail type of survey submissions. So we are working with the home office to have better participation in the parent surveys next year. So historically, we administer the surveys in February, and there's a month, 1 month window of administration in the survey. Then we get the data on the portal, and as Mr. Yılmaz mentioned, we have a scheduled meeting to identify the needs and strengths with the home office team. Then we address the concerns all together. That is resulting in writing this report. Let's go to GLOWS page. Right here. So I'm going to reading out and the response that we put here as a team. Students appreciate that school hosts fun, enjoyable activities such as games during lunch, hot chocolate day, plenty of the field trips. So students see that the teachers are helpful and caring students. In addition, school rules, health and safety guidelines and expectations are enforced fairly and equitably, for which parents feel that and the school community communicates effectively. The faculty believes that the admin team supports the staff for various projects and personal matters. Therefore, our focus is to support teachers, develop stronger collaborative culture among colleagues and students. That's why we adopt the trainer model and sharing the promising practices for adaptive school PD series and other instruction programs such as GameKit, MyOwn, and NWA, which really establish a small family environment. Lastly, staff outing activities like Thanksgiving potluck at Balboa Park, end of year luncheon at a local restaurant, and staff bowling are appreciated. These are the free responses, free response reflections from staff, parent, and student surveys. Let's read the GLOWS. Students, parents, and staff show their request to secure a permanent location, which is underway. Sharing a campus with uncertain future affected the survey results and is a struggle to build a strong school culture. Facility limitation is a challenge to achieve our mission and fulfill the school mission as a true science academy. MSA 5 team recognizes support of the home office and MSA 1's hospitality in regards to being a co-located and facility search. There seems to be a pattern in students not being happy with dress code uniform. We can improve by having more variety of uniforms. And explaining the reason why the uniform policy is conducive. Parents concerned with homeless people and illegal activity in the area. To make the school feel more safe, we have to strengthen communication with LAPD about the homeless population and mobilize the security guards more effectively, which has been in works past 2 months. We see less homeless encampment in the area. So hopefully it's going to be much better in the near future. I'm going to read out the next steps. Los Lobos will continue to work with MPS Facility Department to finalize the plans for the future home of MSA 5. Then have transition student recruitment plans, working with the home MPS Outreach and Communication Department, involving all our education partners, and incorporate student testimonials to secure facility by July 2024. MSA 5 and MSA 1 teams will discuss a plan to organize the parking structure and PE area arrangements by April 2022. Moreover, Nedinov students will meet MSA 1 DOS to discuss communication with LAPD for homeless population by April 29, 2022. The Student Council and Restorative Justice Committees will work with students to design new uniform styles to have more variety, minimizing hoodies. It will help with branding within the school community. We'll offer an educational piece and demonstrate why and create more field dress opportunities such as college days by October 2022. MSA 5 team will continue to offer social activities and recognition for staff by June 2022. Lastly, Los Lobos will be given opportunities to expand the programs such as more advanced placement, dual enrollment, and accelerated math courses. These responses based on reflections are based on the student surveys and parent surveys. As I said, one of the biggest drop is the sense of belonging. It's lower than pre-pandemic because of the location change. So MSA 5 students are still struggling to find their identities in the new campus. But we are offering more programs recently, bringing new programs and doing more extracurricular activities to resolve that issue. One of the things that we are pushing this year is to have collaborative professional developments. As I mentioned earlier, we have one program, Adaptive School PDs. So teachers are attending off-campus PDs, and they bring back those great implementation to the campus, and train the trainer model is in works. That's all I have. I can take questions.
Thank you for your presentation, team. So with that, I'll open up the floor for any questions or comments from the public. Perfect. Board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this? Perfect. If not, thank you for your presentations, Zeke and Ali. So now we'll move on to information discussion item 3B, discussion of and update regarding sale of strip of land to City Recreation and Parks for purpose of constructing ice hockey rink. This will be presented by Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel and Director of Facilities.
Good evening, board members and educational partners. This is Patrick Ontiveros, General Counsel and Director of Facilities. So this is an update about the construction of the ice hockey rink immediately adjacent to our high school property at MSA 1. At various times in the past, we've given you updates on this, most of them really being in the way of it's not happening yet, but they're still working on it. It's now moving forward. City Recs and Park, I think, has the funding now to move forward with this project. So we've been talking to them about it. We've agreed to partner with them because we believe it'll be in our community's best interests, in our students' best interests to have that type of athletic facility adjacent to our school, MSA 1. So once that is completed, we expect to make full use of it. And that is still being discussed right now. So as part of that, they need additional land to purchase in order to construct their hockey rink. And so as I think I've mentioned in the past, they want to purchase a 25-foot strip of land that would eliminate some parking on our high school parking lot. And that's the, on the screen right now, you'll see Exhibit A. There's the blue is the land that we own. The property in red is the land owned by Wrexham Park. And so by purchasing a 25-foot strip, we'll be losing about 33 parking spaces. what we're doing to mitigate that is, well, threefold. One is we are in escrow to purchase the adjacent property, the JAM property. Once that project comes to fruition, we will replace the entirety of that parking. In addition, we have been leasing land from the new owner of the former CIM property. That's actually the land, if you're looking at Exhibit A, it's right there in the middle. It's not shaded in any color. We've been using that land for parking, for recreation, for all kinds of different uses. So we have it for one more school year. We are proposing to extend that existing lease for another 2 years instead of just 1 year. So that will give us an opportunity to complete the projects that we want to do at MSA 1. Finally, we are speaking with Citibank about leasing spaces there. They're at the end of the block. And we are talking to them about leasing about 26 spaces. So from a parking perspective, we should be in good shape. So this is just more of a preview. There's still some work to be done. We hope to come back to the board with an action to approve the sale, but that we're hoping to do that at the May board meeting. Yes, this is just to give you an update and kind of get you prepared for that. One final thing I did want to mention is, when we first started talking about this, back in 2020, we did an appraisal. The city did an appraisal as well, and their appraisal came in at almost $1 million. Ours came in at $1 million, so we were really close. We, in anticipation of this project moving forward, we did another appraisal. It values the land now at $1,360,000. The city has disclosed that their appraisal came back at more than that, almost 1.7, I believe. So the purchase price still needs to be finalized, and there's still details that need to be hammered out, including we have to have the lien on that strip of land released by our current bond holder that is also the lien holder. So there's still some steps to be taken, but we're, again, just giving you an update and so that you would be prepared for at the next board meeting to possibly consider approving the sale. I will stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ontiveros. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Yes, this is Mekhan. Thank you, Patrick, for the presentation. The 26 parking spaces at the Citibank parking lot, is that acquire or a lease that's being planned in case this goes through?
Yes, this is Patrick again. That will be a lease. So it's kind of a short-term fix to the parking situation. But we think in combination with the other strategies I mentioned, we expect that parking will be adequate.
Got it. It's just the handout said acquire, so I wasn't sure because I was going to follow up with a question of how much would it cost for us to acquire it. So I guess. Maybe change down the road, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. I see that. I can see where that would be.
Can I add something, Patrick?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
So we are going to pay, or they propose. Sorry, guys. This is Mustafa Sahin, the project manager. Citibank is proposing us to pay $1,000 per month for 26 spots.
Okay, so it will be a lease, not an acquire.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any further comments or questions from our board members? If not, thank you. These two items that were presented, they are just informational items, so no action will be necessary. Next, we'll move on to the action items, starting with 4A, board approval of findings to conduct virtual meetings. Pursuant to AB 361, Government Code Section 54953, I'll be presenting on behalf of Mr. Rubalcaba, the CEO and superintendent. Once again, my name is Jennifer Lara, Executive Assistant and Board Secretary. This is just a monthly review from our board members to continue the teleconferencing flexibilities afforded to us by AB 361, since we are currently still under the pandemic and it would be unsafe to meet in person. So since this was already deliberated numerous times, I'll end it there, but I'll open up the floor for any questions or comments from the members of the public. If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Perfect. If not, the motion is for the board of directors to adopt the findings relating to the ability of the Magnolia Public Schools Board and all MPS committees to conduct meetings due to teleconference during the state of emergency in reference to AB 361, Government Code Section 54953. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the move, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
Seconded, Mekan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Diglish? Dr. Diglish, for your vote.
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mohamedov.
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our board members. The motion carries. Next, we'll move on to action item 4B, approval of updated MPS health and safety policy and injury and illness prevention program, IIPP COVID-19 addendum. This will be presented by Ms. Hashmirzar, Director of Human Resources.
Good evening, board members, Magnolia family and public. Tonight, I'm bringing the updated health and safety policy for your approval based on the recent the county guidance, the authorizing agency guidance that we received recently. There are minor changes in the policy as highlighted, and those are some of the changes are indoor masking is strongly encouraged for all individuals, it's not mandated at all MSA school sites. Individuals must still wear masks when entering a nurse office or a COVID testing site if they're having symptoms. And then if they're isolation and quarantine area and other sensitive areas. Individuals that who are new to LAUSD are required to baseline test upon their start of school or work. And all individuals will be required to comply with all district requirements for baseline testing from any school breaks, such as spring break that we have coming up. So this is only specific to LAUSD, the Los Angeles Unified School District campuses. And these were all the updates from the policy, which you have in front of you. But I will open up the floor for any questions or comments you may have. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Ms. Hashmirzar. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Perfect. If not, the motion is for the board to approve the updated MPS health and safety policy alongside the injury and illness prevention program, IIPP COVID-19 addendum. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mekan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Dr. Digbush. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Digbush?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The motion carries. Next, we'll move on to action item 4C, approval of assurance of compliance for 2022 significant disproportionality comprehensive coordinated early intervening services for Magnolia Science Academy 5. This will be presented by Dr. Callahan, Director of Special Education, on behalf of Mr. Urdenchajar. Go ahead, Dr. Callahan.
Thank you so much, Ms. Jennifer Lara. Good evening, board members and Magnolia family and any public members that are here today. This is very similar to what we presented last year. We talked about significant disproportionality. When a school has three consecutive years of disproportionality, meaning that more than 3% of their population is identified under the one, any one particular eligibility, the state, as a safety precaution, warns the school to check all the records, make sure that the students are there legally, and also to reintegrate any student who no longer needs special ed, meaning that they are at or above grade level and have shown performance achievement for whatever the designated amount of time is, generally 2 years, two consecutive years, that we start to reintegrate those students back into the general population. And if they still have any type of disability, they can be serviced under a 504 plan rather than an IEP. So with that, we have now MSA 5 has fallen under significant disproportionality because this is the third year in a row that they've had more than 3% of their Latino population under the eligibility of learning disability. Just FYI, San Diego and MSA 2 are targeted, but we're working with the schools this year to try and reduce the numbers so that they're not in significant dispro by next year. So let me go, where does it have the actual motion? Can we scroll down a little bit? Okay, thank you so much, Jennifer. Okay, so I am asking that the board approve the assurance of compliance that we had to send in to the state for a significant disproportionality for MSA 5. And we're asking that the board chair would approve this document. You've already signed it, but as a formality, we're asking that you would approve this document as well. And so that's the I don't know if that's an actual motion. Is that a motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Callahan. Is that the end of your presentation?
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. So with that, I'll open it up the floor for any questions or comments from the members of the public. If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Dr. Callahan, you mentioned, you said a 504 after the IEP?
Yes. If a child is at grade level and has demonstrated grade level performance for 2 years or more, then technically they really don't meet the eligibility requirements of being significantly below grade level. And if that is the case, we want to remove the IEP, but let's say the student still needs some supports in order to maintain those grades and to maintain their performance, then we would definitely put a 504 plan in place so that if whatever accommodations they need, they'll continue to get them.
So this goes on through all their high school grade, the 504? So will they also carry on to college?
Well, once they leave us, they no longer have an IEP or a 504 plan. However, the documents go with them to college, and then the college counselor, and we help with the transition. And so we connect the students with not only their college, but the Department of Rehab and the resource, I can never think of it, of the other organization, but it'll come back to me. The regional center, so that those students will still get the services they need. It'll just be called a different form, whatever form the colleges use. And each Cal States have one type of form, and then the UCs have their own form. But the students are definitely legally allowed to get those same accommodations that they need in college.
And we're supposed to provide the information of where they can receive these services, right? Aside from like the 504 once they go into college.
Yes, when they transition, we have a transition meeting for all of the students, whether they're on a 504 plan or an IEP. And then we make sure that all of our parents have access to the counselor at the college level. They know where the students with disabilities offices are. Okay. And we make sure that they have whatever documentation they need so that they can get whatever accommodations that they need to access the curriculum.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Lynn. Any other questions or comments?
If there are no further questions or comments from our board members, the motion is for the board to approve the assurance of compliance for the 2022 significant disproportionality comprehensive coordinated early intervening services for MSA 5 and for the MPS board chair to sign. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the move, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
Seconded, Mekhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Digbash?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The motion carries.
Thank you, board members.
Next, we'll move on to action item 4D, approval of Magnolia Public Schools student recognition and incentive policy. This will be presented by Mr. Hernandez, our Director of Student Services.
Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Jason Hernandez, Director of Student Services for Magnolia Public School. I want to thank everybody for being on here. This one's actually some really positive, good news. It reminds me of my days as a dean of student when I would go around and recognize students for their hard work and effort. And actually, this is where this policy originated from, was many of our staff members actually put out of their pocket to recognize students. So this has been months in the making, but the whole point of this is really to seek to increase effectiveness and positive outcomes of students' academic, behavioral, and social emotional education through our school attendance recognition, academic recognition, athletic recognition, and positive behavior interventions and support. And Jennifer, if you go down a little lower, you'll be able to see those buckets that we hope to recognize as a school. You should go down a little bit lower to the next page, actually. Approved recognition program. There you go. So there you have your attendance recognition, academic recognition, athletic recognition, PBIS recognition. So basically what this does is this lays out the parameters of how school sites can use their funding to be able to recognize students for achievements in these four areas. It does give them some examples. So this is only it's a start. We hope to build on this. We hope to continue to learn from other districts across California to continue to learn some of the promising practices that are out there. As far as budget implication is concerned, this will vary from school site to school site, right, depending on the number of students they have and how many recognition events that they want to have. And I'll be working very closely with the deans of students to make sure that we are having those opportunities to celebrate our youth. And the other cool feature about this is that not only do we set parameters or certain data metrics that we want our kids to be recognized for, but it also recognizes our kids that are demonstrating improvement. So, which was one of the key elements of this plan was, hey, not just recognizing those kids that are always gonna be perfect attendance, but how about those that are improving? Same thing with academics. We wanna recognize those students that are always getting A's, but we also want to recognize those kids that are making that strive and effort to produce some excellent work. So that is the proposal I'm bringing in front of you. So really, this motion is staff is recommending that the MPS board approves the student recognition and incentive policy for all our schools across Magnolia Public Schools. And now I'll turn it over to you for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hernandez. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
I just want to say thank you to Mr. Hernandez and his department for putting this together. I feel this is very important, especially the hard times that we're going through. The students need something to get motivated, encouraged, to, you know, to do what they have to do to get educated, and I appreciate this. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I can't take all credit for it. Several people have put input in this, but thank you. They are appreciative of it.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Any further comments or questions from our board members? Perfect. If not, the motion is for the board to approve the student recognition and incentive policy for all schools. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the motion, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
Hold second.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbush. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Gladly, yes.
Yes, thank you. Dr. Dickbush?
Also gladly, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov.
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our board members. The motion carries.
Thank you, everybody. Super excited about this. I'm gonna share with the rest of the team, probably tomorrow morning. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Alrighty, moving on to action item 4E, approval to extend due diligence period for purchase of 18242 Sherman Way. This will be presented by Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel and Director of Facilities.
Hello, board members, Magnolia community, and members of the public. So by way of background, way back in November of 2021, the board approved us to sign a purchase and sale agreement for the purchase of the JAM property that's immediately adjacent to our middle school building. Subsequent to that date, we did, in fact, open escrow for this property on January 28th, 2022. Since that time, we've been doing our due diligence, including doing a phase one environmental, ALTA and topographic survey, appraisal, entitlement survey, and most recently, we've been working with an architect to produce a master plan for the collection of property that we hope to have. We've been moving full steam ahead with this. We are at a point where we're expecting a term sheet from a lender that was identified by our financial advisor, John Buck. And actually we're expecting it by no later than tomorrow. So there's still a little bit of work that needs to be done, obviously. We need to review the term sheet, agree to the terms, and also concurrently share it with our authorizer, LACO, to get them comfortable with the transaction. So what we're proposing to do, or what we're asking the board to authorize, is us to extend our due diligence period. Presently, it expires on April 28th. And in order to extend our due diligence period, we need to pay for it, release $10,000 from escrow, from the good faith deposit. And that will allow us to buy another 30 days to continue this due diligence, principally get approval, sign off from LACO, as well as our lock in our financing. We're bringing it to you now just in abundance of trying to be respectful of everybody's time so that we don't have to hold a special board meeting towards the end of this month. So with that said, again, we're asking for the authority to exercise that option. We would wait until April 27th to give that notice. Under this particular purchase and sale agreement, we only have to give them 1 day notice in order to extend the contingency period. So with that said, I will stop there and happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Ontiveros. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
This is Mekon. Thanks, Patrick. Patrick, have we released any funds before for this project to from Good Faith, or this is the first time?
That's a great question. This is actually the first time.
Okay. And due date is 28th. So only thing we're waiting is term sheet, and that needs to be submitted to LACO, and LACO okays it, we move forward.
That is correct, yes.
And if this happens, then basically we don't release anything. It's just that the escrow moves forward and you just, you guys just need the, just in case LACO yes. doesn't get back on time, then yes. we have time in hand.
Correct.
Okay. So it's been a little while, right, John Buck? Are they taking a little longer than they should, or is it normal procedure?
I think it's we opened escrow later than we did for example the other property we'll be talking about, the Winnetka Avenue property. I think this is about average for what you would expect. He took a look at a handful of different lenders, identified this one, and then has been working with them, bringing them up to speed about Magnolia. We had a follow-up call with them last week where we answered their questions. So this is approximately how long it would typically take. I would say if we were going through a different lender, it could take even longer. And the advantage of this particular lender is, once they've locked in the terms, it's not going to be a long closing. Apparently their legal fees are fairly minimal compared to what you would typically pay a typical lender, and their documents are already, they're standard. So once we decide that yes, this is the lender we're going to go with, once we pull that trigger, it should be fairly smooth from there on out.
Got it. It's just that maybe like two reasons why we probably should be rushing, and I'm sure you guys are working on it as well, is the fact that LACO might have their procedures, and secondly, given the market and interest rates, you know, rapidly rising, so probably time is of essence here. So, and lastly, if you could just keep me posted, you or Mustafa, that you know, we got the term sheet submitted to LACO in the meantime. I'd appreciate it.
We will certainly keep you.
Thank you.
In the loop.
Thank you.
Any further questions or comments from our board members? Perfect. If not, the motion is for the board to approve one, the exercise by MPS of its option under that certain purchase and sale agreement signed by MPS dated as of January 13th, 2022, for the purchase of the property located at 18242 Sherman Way to extend its contingency due diligence period for one 30-day period from April 28th, 2022 to May 30th, 2022, and in conjunction therewith. Two, the release by MPS of $10,000 from the escrow established for the aforementioned transaction as consideration for the exercise of the extension option. And three, the execution by the MPS CEO and superintendent or his designees of such documents and instruments as may be needed to undertake and complete the foregoing actions. With that, would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mekan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Dr. Diklish. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Diklish?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The motion carries. Next, we'll move on to action item 4F, approval to extend due diligence period for purchase of 7111 Winneka Avenue. This would also be presented by Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel and Director of Facilities.
Good evening again, everybody. This is Patrick Ontiveros, General Counsel and Director of Facilities. This item is very similar to the last item. In this case, we want to exercise our option to extend our due diligence period for the purchase of the 7111 Winneka Avenue property. You may recall that the board approved the exercise of the first option. And we, at that time, we released $15,000for the exercise of that option. This would be our second extension, and we would be releasing $20,000 from escrow to the seller. As a reminder, we have $200,000 as a good faith deposit right now. So these option payments that we've made and will make, if we close on the property, it's applicable to the purchase price. So it's not additional. It's just applied to the purchase price. And so we're seeking the authority to exercise that option for the very same reasons that we asked for that permission for the Sherman Way property. We're on the cusp of getting a term sheet from the lender. And as previously explained, we will then share it with LACO and get their feedback on that. So that's in essence what we're at and what we're asking for. And I will leave it at that. So yes, I will leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ontiveros. Is there any questions or comments to the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
This is Mia Khan. Patrick, so this is second time we're leasing for this property, like unlike MSA 1, right?
Correct. This is the second time.
And that brings us to a total of 35,000.
That is
with
correct,
the release, yes, of this one. So meaning that if the deal doesn't go through, then this 35,000 is gone. Right.
That is
That's
correct.
What we are saying. Okay, too. Okay.
Yes, that is
now timeline wise, term sheet, when do you guys expect for this one to come?
Same time as for the Sherman Way property, which is tomorrow. We're supposed to receive a term sheet by tomorrow.
Okay. And once we have the term sheet, we submit it to, again, LACO, same procedure.
Same procedure.
They get back to us. Say LACO comes back and okays the term sheets. What's next there?
So if they were to okay it, and assuming obviously that the financing terms are acceptable, we would then move forward with a closing. We have a 30-day closing period. The trick here with actually this Winnetka Avenue property as well as the Sherman Way property is that the seller has the option to extend the closing.
Is there a cost for that?
No, not to the seller. No, mm-hmm. No. I should correct that. The Winnetka Avenue one is a little is more complicated. At a certain point, there is a cost to the seller to extend to continue to extend the closing, but it's by several months. And the reason why actually both sellers negotiated that into their contract is they're concerned that a eviction moratorium will prevent them from either terminating their existing tenants or, you know, having to pay out their tenants, you know, a lot of money to move. So that was the reason they negotiated that. And there is an eviction moratorium in place right now. On the face of it, the language seems to suggest that it does not apply to commercial tenants. But the wisdom in the community of people that think about this stuff is that it also applies to the commercial context where, you know, the tenant is not in default. To date, that hasn't been tested to my knowledge, but we're going to keep our eye on that. And once we think that it's appropriate, the owner, the landlord can evict their tenants, then we will expect them to do that and deliver the properties free and clear.
Got it. We appraised the building, right, Patrick? I know this
property. Yes, we did. We did an appraisal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it appraised for 9.5.
9.5. Okay. Okay, I'm a little bit compared to MSA 1, a little bit on east side on this property. I'm sure you'll agree. Time again is of essence here. However we want to move forward. Do you see any other hurdles other than once we pass the LACO, term sheet approval? I mean, other than, you know, just going through the closing process?
No, I really don't. I mean, this is a easy property, if you describe any mm-hmm. of these projects as easy, because mm-hmm. it doesn't require any kind of land use entitlement. It would be by right. So, you know, we've right. eliminated that hurdle.
Go ahead.
And you know, as you know, we decided that didn't want to keep the existing building. We wanted to do new construction. So we've talked to a general contractor about that. Mm-hmm. We have, as you know, an architect that put together some schematics for us to consider. We're still evaluating modular construction as a possible alternative. Right now, I think we're leaning towards just going with traditional ground up construction, since there really does not appear to be any kind of cost benefit by going with modular. So that's where we're at right now. And as far as the cost of the project, I think previously we had looked at about $25 million dollar project. I expect that it's going to come out lower because we had assumed that all $25 million was going to be outstanding from day one, and thus obviously accruing that interest. As what we've learned, since we put together that budget, is that we will be able to do draws on the loan. So,
gotcha. And the interest rate will accrue on the amount that we draw as we go.
Yes.
So that should lower us long-term cost.
Correct. And also, as part of the acquisition, Pacific Charter School Development is going to put their money in at the outset as well. So they're expected to put in $2,750,000, and their interest rate is going to be 1%. So it'll even be at the outset, we'll have a lower carrying cost.
That's locked? The 1% is locked?
Yes. It doesn't change from deal to deal. It doesn't change with the market. So we expect that it's going to be 1%.
Okay. And lastly, so the permit-wise, this can be school and there will be none of those conditions and CUP issues, none of that, right? Just
that is correct. Sure. That is correct. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Patrick.
Yep. Mustafa, is there anything you want to add before we move on?
No, Patrick. Thank you for asking.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Any further questions or comments from our board members? Perfect. If not, the motion is for the board to approve, one, the exercise by MPS of its option under that certain purchase and sell agreement signed by MPS dated as of December 15th, 2021, for the purchase of the property located at 7111 Winneka Avenue to extend its contingency due diligence period for one additional 30-day period from April 21st, 2022 to May 21st, 2022, and in conjunction therewith, two, the release by MPS of $20,000 from the escrow established for the aforementioned transaction as consideration for the exercise of the extension option, and three, the execution by the MPS CEO and superintendent or his designees of such documents and instruments as may be necessary to undertake and complete the foregoing actions. With that, would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mekhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Dikpesh. Dr. Dikpesh, for your vote. Dr. Dikpesh? Give me 1 second, everyone.
Jennifer, how many votes do you need for the item to pass? Since there's three members.
I would need three.
You need all three of us to vote?
Yes, because if it's only two, it's less than quorum.
But our quorum is three right now.
Yeah, quorum is three.
Yeah, so I think we only need two. I think Dr. Dickmish fell asleep or something.
Even if he says no, it still passes, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to, Patrick, can I do that? Just want to make sure.
Yeah, I mean, so a quorum would be three members. You would need a majority to pass, which would be two of three. So that is correct.
So it would be...
Just put absent for Dr. Dickmish. You have to put absent.
Okay. One day, everyone. For Dr. Dickmish, I'll put absent unless he returns. Mr. Mohammed, for your vote?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The motion carries with two yeses and one absent. Lastly, we'll move on to action item 4G, approval of Magnolia Public Schools Fiscal Policies and Procedures Manual for 2021 through 22. It was previously presented by the MPS Finance Committee meeting on April 6, 2022. Since it is a lot of changes, I'll turn it over to Mr. Budraja for our Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Budraja.
Good evening, everyone. Steve Budraja, CFO for Magnolia Public Schools. As Jennifer indicated, this item was presented during the Finance Committee. The Finance Department, in collaboration with our auditors, annually reviews the fiscal policies and procedures, and we make updates to certain information according to protocols and standards set forth by the state and federal guidelines. In this case, we wanted to go through and make sure that things are appropriately incorporated into the manual. For example, items such as QuickBooks, which we don't use anymore, were removed to reflect our updated accounting system. We wanted to emphasize certain roles and responsibilities, including the senior controller on certain areas. We've updated policies as it relates to transactions in terms of funds that are kept at a certain site and making sure that they're deposited in a timely manner. And we really wanted to make sure that everything was in conformance with federal uniform guidelines as well as GSA government standard guidelines. And so this was last done by my predecessor, Mr. Orzoff, back in February of 2021. And so we hope that it will help continue to keep all staff apprised of policies and procedures as it relates to fiscal items and procurement and things like that. And so it's a lengthy document and it took quite a bit of time to go through it. So I think it's comprehensive enough to be able to get us through until the next time around when we have to take a look at it. So that is all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Budraja. Is there any questions or comments from members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
This is Mekhan. Just quickly, thanks, Stephen. I know we discussed it at the Finance Committee meeting. QuickBooks, what did we replace it with in the name, in the policies?
I think we just put current accounting system. I don't believe we indicated what it was because we are, you know, we were using Schoolability and Adaptive Insights, but we're always trying to refine and hone in. So we didn't identify anything specifically. We just took the word QuickBooks out.
Gotcha. And Adaptive Insights is being implemented more broadly now?
Yeah, that is correct. We're really delving deep into the integration with Schoolability to make sure all the general ledger data is incorporated into Adaptive. And so the two programs can work in sync as best as possible.
Okay. When it was first, I believe it was a little over a year or so ago, Adaptive Insights was purchased. There was the option, there's a read-only option for board members as well. I think the account was set up, but never followed up on it. But whenever we get a time, I'd appreciate 5 minutes of your time just to go over it, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll make sure we take care of that, and then we'll get that information to you and allow access to any information you like.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
I'm sorry. Mac, I'm sorry. Do you mind repeating what you asked Mr. Stevens for at the end?
Oh, yes. So as you may recall, Ms. Covarrubias, back in the day when we were approving adaptive insights, it had the ability actually to give access to board members as well, where yeah. we could have access to, you know, read only, we can just see it and, you know, generate own reports to get an idea about the schools and so on and so forth. It's just an access to the system as a board member. So I remember that option being there when it was presented to us. So I just kept following up on it.
Is that the one that Mr. Haroon set up for us?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, it that should one. Still be available.
Right. Yeah, we should, but since I didn't use it the other day, I just got lost in it. Oh. So I just need a little bit of a guidance there. That's why.
We'll double check the username and everything, and we'll update that and get it over to you and anybody else who would like, who needs it.
So is there any changes to it? Because I have it, so I just want to make sure, or is it still, everything is still the same?
Everything is still the same. None has changed that I'm aware of. But if the account hasn't been accessed in some time, then it's possible that maybe we need to refresh the username or password, that sort of thing. But we'll get with Workday on that, and we'll make sure that we get the most current username and account info, and we'll get that over to anyone who would like it, including Mr. Mohamedov.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions or comments from our board? Perfect. If not, the motion is for the board to approve the following revisions to the MPS Fiscal Policy and Procedures Manual, GNA 103, GNA 113, GNA 115, GNA 118, GNA 121, CSH 101, CSH 104, CSH 107, CSH 111, INV 101, Peer 101, Peer 102, Peer 104, and Peer 106 for the 2021 through 22 year. Would a board member like to move the motion?
Mekon, you went through these items?
At the finance committee meeting, yes. And mm-hmm. I also went through the each item here. So they are general changes, and also especially the one with the 60-day, you know, if, I think that's the major one to have staff submitted within 60 days. And if it wasn't submitted, then it goes to CFO's discretion. And also the one that stood out for me was the change of the QuickBooks. It was everywhere on the policies. Originally, when we developed this back in 2012, QuickBooks was big. But now that the school has grown, finances numbers have grown, so different tools being used. So it's good to be up to date. And the rest are just bringing up to the standards, such as, you know, if there is a check that's written out and if it's not cashed in the 120 days, then it shouldn't be valid. So it should be reissued or reconsidered. So those are standards, and that's what's being brought. So those are important at the same time, standard procedures as well. Correct me if I'm wrong, Steve. Those are the things stood out to me.
Yeah, those are correct. And then obviously making sure that we follow appropriate bidding standards. They're in compliance with county guidelines for procurement to make sure that we have good controls in terms of budgeting and things like that. So it's just internal controls. We discussed at length with our auditors, and they were very supportive of it. And so the finance department discussed as well. And it took some time. It's a lengthy document, but the changes are all up to date now, and so we think they're good to go.
And one thing, yes, Steve, thank you. And one thing that we kind of recommend that the finance committee meeting is just to share the important chunks maybe with the schools or principals or teachers that they use the most. Maybe have a little presentation type or just share the parts of this massive document where it relates to them the most.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, as a matter of fact, we actually are just developed a handbook for procurement that was just finalized this week. And so that is based on this document. So we're going to be getting that out to sites within the next week or so.
Do you think you can share that handbook with the board?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. So I'll make the move to move the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Nikon.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mohamedov.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The motion carries. And that concludes all of our items for tonight's meeting. At this time, I ask Ms. Covarrubias if you may please adjourn. The time is 11:06 p.m.
My apologies to everybody that's still here that we took longer in closed session, but we thank you for being still with us. Thank you for all the hard work, and I would like to adjourn the meeting now.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
Good night, everyone.
Everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye, everyone.